I never was all that great at math in high school. I did okay, but once we got beyond the basics of adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing, I could still do okay as long as I understood the logic in what we were trying to learn. But if I missed the logic of it, I was lost. Now, by my recollection, I was among the generation of sort of guinea pigs upon which they sprung the new math that we've been talking about now for a long, long time. Fortunately, I learned enough to function, and now as I earn my living in an occupation that calls upon me to do quite a bit of ciphering from time to time, I guess everything turned out all right. You might be surprised to learn that the Bible makes quite a bit of use of mathematics, particularly addition and subtraction, you know, the simple stuff. In fact, I'd like for us to take a careful look tonight at a couple of passages that will help us to see the wisdom in the right kind of spiritual arithmetic. I'd like for us to begin by taking a look at addition. I would direct your attention to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, a passage that's going to seem mighty familiar to a lot of us. There Peter says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and your virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." Now, this is a passage about spiritual growth. We've just concluded a series of lessons on Wednesday night, as most of you know, that have included a detailed discussion of each one of those Christian graces. And we called that series of lessons seven supplements for a healthy soul. That's what those seven things are. They're supplements. In fact, that's exactly what Peter says. He says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, and so on. The word supplement there, used as a verb, an action word, means the same thing as the other translations render to add to. A supplement is an additive. Whether you're talking about a vitamin that you take to supplement your body with those things that you don't have, or whether you have a supplement added to the fuel that you put into your automobile, a supplement is something that is added to the original for the purpose of making the original better. And God's Word says that if we will add these things to our spiritual lives, they'll make us better. When you get right down to it, the Bible prescribes a lot of things that we should add to our spiritual lives. The reason for that is very simple. We need God's help. We need His assistance. We need His additives in our lives to make us more suitable for what He wants us to accomplish. Peter is the one who also tells us that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We understand from studying the context of the passage that says that comes to us as we learn more and more of Him. It comes to us through our knowledge of Him. Knowledge is gaining more information, adding more to what we already have, supplementing ourselves. All of this could be boiled down to or reduced to, how do you math teachers say it? Reduced to the most, to the lowest terms, as growth. Spiritual growth. growing, adding the things to our spiritual lives that help us to be better. Now, let me tell you something. Spiritual growth is not for lazy folks. If you're one of those spiritually lazy people, this is not going to work for you. You're going to have to change your approach. You're going to have to get a little better attitude, if you don't mind me saying so. Because spiritual growth is only going to occur in our lives as we make diligence. In fact, that's what Peter said. Give diligence to add to your faith virtue. Make every effort, the English Standard Version renders it. Make every effort. That's not the kind of thing that lazy people are all about. Making every effort. How could there be any place for laziness in the spiritual life of a child of God who wants to go to heaven? Where would you keep your laziness so it wouldn't be in the way, so it wouldn't be a hindrance to all of the things that you do need to develop? There isn't a place for it. We could look at it another way. Would you like for God to be lazy with the doling out of His blessings that we've come to depend upon for our very existence? Would you want Jesus to be lazy about giving out salvation that has been purchased with His blood? Of course not. We're all standing by the mailbox and waiting, so to speak, in the spiritual sense, for all of those things that we get from God. And if for some reason we think that God hasn't given us our just due, then we kind of get upset sometimes. And yet, I get the distinct impression that sometimes we don't hold ourselves to quite the standard that we hold God to. No, there's no room for laziness in a growing, maturing child of God. Why do we need this spiritual growth? Let me offer a couple of suggestions. Number one, I would suggest to us that we need spiritual growth so desperately because spiritual growth helps to tone our spiritual muscles for the purpose of better dealing with the stresses and the difficulties that we face in this world. I find great satisfaction in what James says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let me get you to look again at that passage with me as we notice all of the growth words there. Produces. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Oh, by the way, did you notice that he says there at the very beginning, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet spiritual trials? He didn't say if. He didn't say maybe. He said when. It's a done deal. You can count on it. You are going to meet trials of various kinds in this life. It's what's here for us on this earth. But God's Word says, count it all joy. Rejoice when you suffer, huh? Rejoice in the fact that you know this has the ability to make you better. This has the ability to help you grow stronger. This is toning your spiritual muscles so that you'll be better able to deal with the next thing that comes along. One of the things that spiritual growth produces in us is a defense mechanism, the ability to resist temptation. We could picture it almost as a protective wall around us. Spiritual growth helps to develop that. Paul refers in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, to the shield of faith. He says, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The shield of faith. Paul has already told us that faith comes of hearing the Word of God. The more we hear, the more we learn of God and His will, the stronger our faith becomes. We call that growing, where I came from. That's growth. The increasing the ability to resist temptation comes with spiritual growth. Number three, I would suggest to you that spiritual growth makes us better able to model Christ to others. Growth and maturity make us better representatives. I think back to my college days. With all the respect in the world for these college students who are with us, I was the perfect college student. I was perfect in every way. At least I thought I was. And I look back now at some of the stupid things that I did. Even in a spiritual way. And I see kids in that category today of that age, and particularly some that I've been closely associated with. And it's a lot easier for me to understand some of the difficulties that they're having and some of the misconceptions that, my apologies again to the college students, but some of the misconceptions that they're under, because I know they've got some years ahead of them in which they will develop some maturity that will actually make them better representatives of even the Christian faith. Now listen, I'm not saying that when you're young you've got a built-in excuse not to be a good example. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying the older you get, the better you can do at the job of representing Jesus Christ. That's what spiritual growth does for us. The alternative to spiritual growth is digression, going backward. Losing what we've gained. Now this is going to be an extreme illustration, but I recently read about a woman who actually grew backward. She was from Virginia, and her story was carried in the Virginia Medical Monthly. She was a normal adult with three children. Life was great until one day her husband tragically died. Her kids were in high school, and her world suddenly was falling apart. She doubled up on her devotion and her attention to her children, probably in an effort to try to cope with some of the trauma of her husband's death. And it seemed like something on the inside of her snapped. She began wearing the clothes of a 20-year-old woman instead of what was more suitable to her age. She began to insist that her teenage children take her along to their high school and college parties. Over the years, the children realized that as they were growing older, their mother seemed to be, at least in her mind, growing younger. Psychiatrists call it personality regression, and it means that a person is actually traveling backward in development. When she was 61 years old, she conducted herself like a six-year-old. Eventually, she was institutionalized, where she insisted on wearing the clothing of a toddler. She played with toys. She babbled like a baby. She spilled her food. She crawled on the floor and cried out for mama. Finally, in what some described as having gone back so far that she crossed over the line, she died. Now, as I say, that's an extreme illustration. But I want us to understand that as scary and as strange as that story sounds, it's a perfect illustration of the spiritual condition of people who refuse to grow in their faith. If we will not grow, we will digress. If we will not go forward spiritually, we will go backward. Go backward long enough, and you will eventually die. In the second place, I'd like for us to look at some subtraction for just a minute. I would refer you to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where Peter says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, and like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation." The reality of spiritual growth is that it cannot happen if there are things in the way. And so the growth process is only going to work if we're willing to get rid of some things that are holding us back. Peter gives us a short list here. It's interesting that he gives us a list of five things that most people would consider little things. I have found in my life that it's usually the little things that get me the worst. Peter says we've got to get rid of number one, malice. Malice is defined as viciousness of character. Viciousness of character that is usually coupled with something that triggers that, like a short temper, a desire for revenge. That's what malice is in this text. Secondly, Peter says deceit. Now, we all probably believe we know what deceit is. Deceit is characterized by that terrible person with no conscience who goes around taking advantage of people because he misrepresents the truth and tells lies all the time. Isn't that what deceit really is? The real definition of deceit here is that which gives a false impression. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, did you tell a lie?" And they say, "Well, no, not exactly. I may have left him with the wrong impression." You know, that's okay. The Bible calls that deceit. That which gives a false impression. Number three in Peter's list here is hypocrisy. And that's just plain old pretense. Pretending to be something that we're not. Number four, he says envy. And envy is defined as the feeling of displeasure which is produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or of the prosperity of someone else. The feeling of displeasure that is brought on by witnessing or hearing about the advantage or the prosperity of someone else. And then number five on the list was slander. Slander is defined as the practice of finding fault with the demeanor or with the conduct of others and then telling it. Again, I would remind us that these five things are some of probably the milder things that we would classify as sins. At least our society would say that these are little things. I read about a couple who once bought an old farm in the state of New Hampshire. Their intention was to build a country retirement home for themselves, and they looked the place over very carefully and chose the spot where they intended to build their last house. There were quite a few boulders scattered around, and so as they began to move those boulders, it turned out to be quite a bit bigger task than they had anticipated, and took quite a bit of labor and a good bit of heavy equipment. But they finally got rid of all of those big boulders so that there was room now to build the house, except after removing all of those boulders, the place was literally strewn with large rocks. And so that took several weeks of work to go around and pick up all of those large rocks that hadn't really been all that visible when those big boulders were there. You guessed it, after spending so much time gathering up all of the large rocks, then they could see very clearly that there was so much gravel and pebble-sized stone scattered everywhere that they had to remove that before there could be any hope of grass growing around their new house and their new yard. You know, that's the way life is. We start out working on the big things, and we think perhaps that when we've whipped this big thing, everything will be fine, and we get that big one taken care of, and then all of a sudden we realize that there are a couple of smaller ones that you couldn't see before you got rid of the big one. And then when you get rid of those little small ones, then there are all those little bitty tiny ones that keep coming to the surface no matter how hard you work. It's a constant thing. We're never finished with the matter of picking out the rocks and clearing the land of our spiritual lives. Perhaps that's what the Hebrew writer had in mind. As he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Bible math is all about adding the right things and getting rid of the wrong things. And we will never, as long as we're in this life, we will never finish adding the right things. And we will never completely finish getting rid of the bad things. That is the life of spiritual growth. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.